Herzlich willkommen zur neuen Folge von Metal Minds, The Pit Unplugged, dem Metal.de Podcast. Mein Name ist Diana Hainbucher und ich bin eure Gastgeberin. Und heute habe ich den Jack und den Daniel von Polaris mit dabei und die beiden habe ich Ende Juni auf dem Impericon Festival in Leipzig getroffen. Es war eine große Ehre, denn Daniel ist ja so der kreative Geist auch hinter Polaris, aber auch Jack und die anderen stehen denen ja in nichts nach. Also es war ein sehr freudiges Zusammentreffen, aber wir haben über ein ziemlich diebes Thema gesprochen. Wir haben vor allem so über das Thema mentale Gesundheit auf Musikerebene gesprochen. Also was es zum Beispiel heißt, Freundschaften auf der Ebene des Zuhause-Seins zu halten, wenn man ganz viel unterwegs ist, aber auch was es bedeutet eigentlich, viel unterwegs zu sein und parallel noch Songs zu schreiben. Genau das alles thematisieren wir hier ein bisschen, wie man eben die Bodenhaftung bei all dem Chaos und bei all der Freude nicht verliert. Ich wünsche euch damit ganz viel Spaß. Der Podcast ist heute natürlich auf Englisch. Verzeiht mir den ein oder anderen sprachlichen Fehler. Niemand ist perfekt. Und ich wünsche euch jetzt ganz viel Spaß mit Jack und Daniel von Polaris. How are you today?
Yeah, very good, thank you. It's very sunny, very warm. Nice to be here.
Yeah, we're just trying to stay out of the heat, stay hydrated and find our way around the place, see some bands. We're excited. It'll be a good day.
Yeah. Great. And how are you feeling right now in the middle of the festival chaos?
It's the end of the festival chaos, isn't it? Really, we're on the tail end of it. We're pretty ready to go home, but we're gonna miss it because we've been having the best time ever.
Yeah, this is our last. It might actually be our last German show for the year, right? So yeah, we'll be enjoying this one today. Yeah. Sending it off for the rest of the year.
Okay, so last show in Germany today for this year. But what does it mean to be back in Europe, especially playing on a festival like Impericon?
I mean, we've been discussing it quite a bit this run. This is I'm going to say it's been my favorite tour we've ever done. You know, it's different from other tours that you do where you're playing with the same bands every night. We are running circles with a lot of the other bands at the moment. But yeah, it's a different environment every day. The festival environment's always really fun. Everyone's just enjoying themselves. Lots of great food and smells going around. Lots of great bands and really cool stages. So yeah, it's a lot of fun for us. We don't get to do it all the time. So when we do come out for summer festivals, we really enjoy ourselves.
I think this is definitely one we're going to remember for a long time. I mean, it's our third time doing the summer festival season, and it's probably maybe like our 10th time in Europe or something in total, like 8th or 10th maybe. Yeah. But I think this one's just been really special because we're really feeling like a really great wave of excitement from the people at the shows. It feels like the crowds are more excited than ever, which for us, you know, after 3 records and coming here a lot of times, like, it's just so wonderful for us to feel like there's still new people discovering the band, and the people who've been coming to the shows since we first came over here are still coming out and they're bringing their friends, and it seems more exciting than ever. So I think, like, we were talking the other day about how when you're from Australia, like, we used to only get to play maybe one festival a year, and we would spend the whole year thinking about the next time we get to do a festival. And to come over here and do this for a whole month straight is just kind of like the most exciting part about being in a band. There's nothing beats it.
Okay. And where did you play it yesterday?
Yesterday was Vainstream, wasn't it? Yeah, Vainstream yesterday. So yeah, that was awesome. That was our first time playing that festival, and it was a really cool vibe. Actually, we really enjoyed that. What can be said about yesterday? The stage was really tall.
It was.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a risky one too. There was we had an eventful set. We had to stop the show twice for injuries in the mosh. One of them was in the second song, so that was we were pretty worried for a little while there. They had to carry a guy out of the crowd, get medics involved, and then when we started the show again, once we knew everything was looking safe, then about 10 minutes later it happened again. I guess that's the reality of a mosh pit on concrete parking lot, which is basically the situation. But we were just really glad when we heard later on that both those people were okay. Apparently they were back in the mosh jumping around a little bit later, so it was nothing too serious, but it made us a little bit worried. And obviously it made the set a bit complicated, but we only missed about, I think we had to cut 1.5 songs. So we were really grateful just to have such an awesome set still, and the crowd was giving us everything. And then we got to watch Ball of My Valentine and A Day to Remember, and it was a bloody terrific day. Yeah. Amazing.
Great. You said you skipped 1.5 song. Which song you would never skip in a set list from you?
That's a tough one, right? I mean, we wanted to make sure we could play Hypermania. That's always a lot of fun for us. We enjoy playing that song. Yesterday we did, what did we cut? We had to cut Remedy, unfortunately, which is a classic for us. So maybe there might have been a few people out there that missed out on that one, but it is one of our older ones. We've been playing it for a while. So if you've seen us before, you've definitely seen it. And chances are you will see it again. So that's what we decided to cut.
Yeah, it's actually funny. There's a time when the answer to that question you just asked would have been Remedy would be the one song we wouldn't cut. But I think it's now, if you've seen us play ever pretty much in the last 10 years, we've definitely played that song. So we said, okay, let's put some of the ones in there that some of these people might not have seen live before. And I think it was a good choice in the end. So,
yeah, but I think under time pressure, it's a hard decision to make.
Very hard.
What helps you stay mentally and emotionally grounded while touring?
That's tricky, actually. I think it's important to take time for yourself. There's not a lot of personal space on tour. Sometimes the closest thing you have is just going and lying in your bunk for an hour during the day. It's good to also make sure that you get some outdoor time. You go for a walk, kind of see what's going on in the festival, try to soak it in a bit. But yeah, sometimes it's a bit overwhelming being around people 24/7. So you just got to take some time for yourself.
Yeah, I think like lots of walking, lots of sunshine. Sometimes on the days off, you really have to convince yourself to go and do that. But I think that's become really important for us. We like to check our step counters on the tour a little bit now. We see where everybody's at, you know, try to get 10,000 or more steps in on an off day. On the festivals, that's easy to do too, because there's a lot of walking. I think checking in with our friends in other bands, and just like, it's always just something nice to lift your spirits, calling home when you need to. Went to a sauna the other day. That was really refreshing, stuff like that. Aside from that, yeah, sometimes on tours going, getting a little exercise in, going to the gym or something like that can be really good. But on the festival runs, that's a little hard. So we just do what we can.
Okay. Thank you. And, do you have any routines or rituals that support you during your creative process? Last time was last year in March we talked. I talked with Jamie and you was short also there. You also are writing during touring here.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
Whenever we can, yeah. Uh-huh. So what was the question though? Sorry.
So, and the question again. do you have any routines or rituals that support you during the creative process?
It depends. I guess we try to get writing in where we can. Typically these days we actually schedule ourselves some time away. We'll go book a house somewhere out of town. We'll stay there for maybe about a week at a time. And we just basically regiment those days to be strictly for writing. We are actually quite good during that time at being very switched on and sticking with the scheduled time. We get up at a reasonable time and we all get stuck into it for the day. And funnily enough, we actually have to convince ourselves to take breaks, especially when we get on a roll with things. It's very common for us to do 12 hours or more a day, essentially straight of just writing. We might order food to the house so that we don't have to take a break. I think what we do when we are writing like that is we tend to give ourselves a few hours at the end of the night, even if it's late, just to sit around, put on some YouTube, maybe play a video game and just kind of talk about our plans, talk about the songs, how they're coming along, how we're feeling about everything, plans for what else we'd like to accomplish, just decompress a little bit before we go to bed and start the whole thing again.
Yeah. Another one that was really good on our last trip was Jesse and Rick brought some of those, wiffle balls, golf with, they're like the little golf balls that with holes in them that you can like hit inside and they don't go very far. And we had a bucket sitting up on top of the kitchen bench and we would spend, you know, half an hour in between things, just in between writing sessions, just chipping golf balls into the bucket. I think I got one in over the week because I'm not very good at golf, but Jesse and Rick got a few. Little things like that to take a break. There was a basketball hoop outside. That was really nice. Sometimes it's even as simple as just like, let's go for a walk to the bakery and get a pie. And that's the break for the day. But I mean, we love what we do. So it's like, it's kind of, you've got to keep a balance. Yeah.
Yeah. Even if you've got the flow and then make a break, it's quite hard. I understand it totally.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
How do you talk about your mental strain within the band? Are there things you become more aware over the years?
I think as we've grown up, we've gotten a bit better at being more aware of that sort of stuff, checking in on one another. We've been doing it for a while now. When we started out, we were kids, so we probably put less importance in that sort of thing. But as time's gone on, I think that everybody in general is a bit more aware of that sort of stuff. Yeah, look, we check in with each other and we also just try to keep things lighthearted, make sure that even on stressful days, that we're still enjoying ourselves and just, you know, taking everything in. And even if somebody's having a day where they just need some space, it's just as simple as allowing that for them. And yeah, if someone's not doing so well, they usually feel pretty comfortable to speak up and say something, and then everyone just tries to be aware of that.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something we're getting better at as we grow older as well. And in the last couple of years, like, we've been through a lot of stuff that's definitely made us realize we need to really just look out for each other as much as we can. And I think we're all just getting a lot better at it. It's becoming more natural. And as we're growing older, we're, you know, I like to hope as you get older, you get a little bit more emotionally mature and sensitive to your own needs as well as to other people's needs. And I think, like, recognizing your own needs mentally is actually just as important as being aware of other people. Sometimes you can be really closed off from how you're actually feeling or what you might need to get yourself in the right spot. But I think the good thing is that now we're in a place in the band where we no longer feel like we have to push ourselves to breaking point in order to get the results that we need. I think we're learning how to find a healthier balance and still give it everything, but in a way that is healthy and sustainable, because it's, you can't sacrifice your own happiness forever to make this career. So I think we're really in a nice spot where we're learning how to have both of those things, how to get the results that we want and create the art that we want, but also be happier people. And it's a nice place to be. Yeah.
Yeah. I think sometimes it's also hard to allow themselves or to allow ourselves to be happy.
Yeah.
That it's okay to be happy.
It's okay not to be happy, and it's okay to be happy as well. I think sometimes when you're in a heavy band and you're writing about really dark and difficult topics, sometimes it's really easy to find yourself in that headspace a lot. So I think now we're, like I said, finding a healthier balance for it.
Okay. Your music is intense, emotional, and some kind of releasing. What do you hope to give your listeners through it?
I think in general, the topics that Dan tends to write about and the music that we're most attracted to is broad, but also it speaks of personal experience. It's often about everyday emotions that people go through, and it's kind of ties into what you just said as well, just being aware of how the things that we go through from day to day affect us and kind of wearing that on our sleeve a bit. I guess we've been lucky enough to hear from fans that sort of stuff has reached them and made a difference for them, or it means something to them. And I think that for myself and Dan, we tend to enjoy music that can kind of help convey that as well. Yeah, musically speaking, we're fans of everything. So, you know, in terms of intensity, we're happy to put out a song that feels really intense and wild. But at the same time, we also really like more melancholy and melodic kind of stuff as well. So it's just whatever suits the song. I feel like sometimes when you're writing a song, there's a feeling that kind of just comes about that's attached to it. Sometimes there's a process of identifying what that is. We always try to make sure that whatever is being said on the song makes sense with the emotion of the music as well.
I feel like, yeah, with this kind of music as well, you know, the energy of like heavy music kind of demands that whatever you're talking about, it has to be, you know, it's, you're never talking about mild emotions. It's if it's a happy emotion, it's a very strong and uplifting, soaring happiness. And if it's the opposite of that, then it's going to be a really heavy melancholy. You know, there's not a lot of middle ground in the emotions that we explore, but I kind of like that because I think that's just what the music demands, because of, the energy and intensity of it. Try to think about it sometimes. I feel like what I land on is like, if there's one thing one main thing I would want people to feel when they listen to our music in terms of the lyrics and the what they get out of it, it's just, it would just be for them to feel like understood, like mm-hmm. to hear something put into words that makes the way that they're feeling make more sense. Cause that's what I always got out from this kind of music personally. So mm-hmm. That's kind of what I'm honestly trying to do for myself when I'm writing the lyrics too. I'm trying to figure out how to understand my own thoughts.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of lyricism is really about that. It's really about a lot of us really write to actually understand what it is that we're feeling, you know, and through writing and finding the right words, you can become more attuned to your emotions. And I think that can have that effect for a listener too. So all my favorite bands did that for me. And that's what I would hope people can take away. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Cool. Yeah. Sometimes we feel something, but it needs time to understand it and to put it in words, and music helps to go through this process. And it's,
also also your music helps me to go through such processes, and that's brilliant. That's we sometimes.
Oh, that's awesome!
Nice to hear. It's very nice to hear. Thank you.
But sometimes we talk about how brilliant art is for me. As music also is art, but we don't know talk about what it means to do such brilliant art, because behind the brilliant art there's something, mostly something bad, something that we need to go through, yeah. Something that pulls us down, something like this. But sometimes we don't speak about it.
I mean, it's sometimes speaking about it can be writing about it. I think that there's, for a lot of artists, it's a form of catharsis to put their thoughts into words and to put that to music and to soundtrack how they're feeling. So yeah, I think you're right. There's sometimes a struggle behind what's being written, but in writing and putting that song together and sharing with people, there's a release there too.
Yeah, one thing I've always found, like, is that sometimes when you're dwelling on maybe some of the most painful emotions that you can, that you're feeling in a moment, that if a line of words comes out of that that describes it perfectly for you in a way that you hadn't thought of before, the satisfaction of that thought coming and writing it down can, like, take a huge weight off. Like, it's almost like, wow, this horrible feeling, maybe it was worth it to get these words in a weird way. Or like in another way, it's like sometimes finding the words to describe the feeling can be almost a little bit of a medicine for the feeling itself. It's a very strange thing to explain, but that's kind of how I've discovered it. Yeah.
Very cool. Thank you so much for all.
You're welcome.
Are there topics you express through your music that you find harder to speak about in your everyday life? I think we start to address it.
Yeah. I think that the process of writing the songs probably helps us, as you say, to identify the feelings better, and maybe in some ways helps us to come to terms with and to be able to discuss those themes more adequately. Yeah, look, I think that a lot of the subject matter is difficult to talk about, but it does help, I think, to sit with it, ruminate, examine it, and to be able to, as Dan says, to be able to get to the point where you can put it into words in a perfect way. It helps you to come to terms with it better. Mm. And that in turn helps you to have those discussions with other people like we are now.
I mean, yeah, I think these days, you know, as we've grown older and we've all become a little bit more emotionally open, there's probably very few things that we won't really talk about, at least like amongst ourselves, like between each other. Like, we're pretty open as a band because we've had to be, because we've gone through so much stuff together. Yeah, in saying that, like, there might be topics that we'd still talk about, but maybe not in the same words. You know, there's always a different angle that you can come at it from when you're writing lyrics. But yeah,
what does community means to you? And in the sense of to be connected with fans, or to be connected with other bands, and also with the scene.
I mean, speaking for other bands, I think it is important to have those relationships. It's a strange thing, traveling and being on tour. When you go home, you spend a lot of your time explaining to people what that's like, and sometimes the words don't fully come, or you're not able to explain the whole thing in its entirety. And sometimes you're also just decompressing to the point where you don't really want to be thinking about it all that much. But when you're on the road, you are kind of surrounded by other people that do the same thing as you. There's no need for that explanation. Everyone kind of, for the most part, it's an unspoken thing, whether it's just private jokes that really are only funny amongst ourselves, or, you know, just expressing frustrations about the kind of shower that was available to you that day, or the ride that you had in your bunk the night before, all of those sorts of things. It feels a little less frustrating when you can kind of share it with the people around you. You know, it's it makes you feel a little less isolated, a little more understood. And I think it is important to have those discussions amongst bands and keep lighthearted about those kinds of things. And it does make it easier, yeah. So it's a very important thing to have a community around you of other bands that go through the same sort of things.
Yeah, as you say, like, it's definitely something that people at home can't relate to as much. I feel like, and on this tour, the community thing has been, you know, very apparent, because we're running into every day is a different group of bands on the things, but we see a lot of the same bands. And so it's not like a typical tour where it's the same, say, four bands every single day, but every couple of days we run into these friends. And it's just, I think that knowledge that when you arrive at a huge event like this, you kind of feel at home, because you walk around, you see your buddies. Like, that's honestly, for me, that's like one of the biggest things that makes this whole lifestyle enjoyable, and like makes the bad days better, you know, is like walking into the green rooms and seeing your friends. And sometimes it's people that you didn't even know you were going to see that day. I mean, but I do think it just in general, like in the metal scene and community, the people are so, community is so important in this scene. Like, ever since we started our band, we had a close group of friends from our immediate local area in Sydney that we formed a little kind of our own little club of bands. And we still go out to see all of our friends play when they come through Sydney, whether it's friends from overseas or locals. It's just, I mean, we value this heavy music community so much, in terms of the bands that we work with. And I think it's really important they all take care of each other and support each other, because we've had that from other people too. And then among the fans as well, like, we've even just that signing today that we did just really showed us how wonderful and excited and supportive the people are over here. So I just love that the metal and hardcore community is the way that it is. Yeah,
I think in terms of the fans, it's like you said, it's important to be able to share you know, the music with them. They primarily are the people that we are, I guess, digesting these feelings with. You know, we have a lot of people come up to us and tell us what their favorite song is and why it was meaningful for them, and that can be rewarding, obviously, when we've kind of gone through a similar thing to write that song. And then from a scene point of view, I think there's a lot to be proud of. Like Dan said yesterday, we had a few falls during the show, and people were really, really good at making sure the band, like, it's not an easy thing to get the attention of a band who's staring at a crowd of a couple thousand people and to actively make sure that they're aware of something that's gone wrong, to the point that the show can be paused for a couple of minutes so that person can be made sure that they're safe. So the fact that matters enough to the people that are already enjoying themselves and would probably rather just keep hearing the music go on, it's a great thing to see that other people's safety, people that they might not have even met before, is also paramount. So yeah, it's something to be proud of.
Yeah. Yesterday I talked to Stick to Your Guns, and they also say it's the what you said before, the thing with the loneliness, because if you're home, your friends can't relate to this, what happened on tour. And it's so hard to open this black box to get them in. And it's hard because friends don't, they don't invite you because they don't know when you are at home.
Yeah,
and
it can
not.
Happen sometimes.
And something like this. And it seems to be that you need to be invest more in this in friendships.
You have to be active with it. Yeah. I've learned that myself as I've gotten older, where I have to come home and message my friends and tell them I have a few weeks at home, let's catch up. It's not as easy as it used to be.
Yeah. Because sometimes it's also hard to take the phone and write because the tour was exhausting.
Yeah.
That's definitely the case. You know, we probably need some time off when we get home, but it's important to make the most of it and see your friends and especially your family. I think in general, as people get older, it is also harder to stay connected. So it's kind of twofold there, where, you know, other people are becoming more and more busy and our lives are a bit unpredictable. So you do have to make sure you're making the effort.
Yeah. If you could shape how the scene evolves in terms of mental health awareness, what needs to be changed?
That's an interesting question. I actually think that we're on our way there, and that, as I mentioned before, we're quite lucky that this music scene is in touch with those things pretty strongly. It's hard for me to make comment on other music scenes, but I feel like heavy music in general, as we've pointed out already, isn't afraid to touch on those difficult subjects. I think that a lot of young fans are sometimes drawn to the music because of how exciting the music is, but I think a lot of other fans are also drawn to the music because of the subject matter that's discussed. You know, sometimes a song is about just putting something on that sounds happy and makes you feel good, and that's a way for some people to process what they're going through. But I think for some people, it's also important to put on a song that kind of delves in a bit deeper. And I think that having a scene that's made up around that kind of music kind of helps grow an emotional maturity amongst the fan base. I think that we, you know, with the conversations that we share with fans, that is quite apparent. A lot of people are quite forthcoming and happy to discuss those things, and they share stories with us about their friends and family. So I'm not sure where it needs to go, but I actually think that we're in a really a healthy community as it is. So, you know, we're on the right path, and if we keep discussing these things, it'll keep being healthy and strong in that way.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I agree. Like, I think we're going in the right direction. And I mean, compared to the way the music scene was in the past in general, maybe even compared to other music scenes. Now, I don't mean to criticize music scenes across any other genres. I guess I just mean that I know that in our scene, it's particularly a big conversation and it's at the forefront. And I do believe, yeah, mental health awareness is getting better. It's getting in a, you know, it's going in a good direction, but it's, you know, it's obviously it's not enough. Yeah. And we still lose people, and it's heartbreaking. And there's a lot of people still struggling and suffering, but I think it's been going in the right direction of, you know, the awareness and, encouraging people to be open about their way they're feeling. And, the only thing I can say is I think, you know, we've really got across the, people are really understanding that it's okay to, you know, as the common saying is, it's okay to not be okay, or, you know, and there's nothing to be ashamed about feeling these things. But I think the next step and the hardest thing is what actions people can take to improve their mental state. And I think that's maybe the hardest conversation to have, is like where what people can do for themselves to help move forward with this stuff. How can you help to improve your mood? What can you do to stabilize yourself and ground yourself? And I don't have the answers for that, but I know what's worked for me personally. And I think it's a different journey for everyone. And I'm not really sure what can be done about that in the scene, but I guess that's what I'm getting at, is in terms of just the world in general, I think that's the direction we need to be going. We've got the mental health conversation to the front, and now I think we need a bit more action. And it takes a lot of community, and it takes people to take their own initiative. It's a really difficult thing, but I hope we can get there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think it's for everyone, it's an own journey.
Yeah.
He or she has to go. Yeah.
It's something that you can see. It's so important to seek out help for that kind of stuff. But the real truth of the matter is, and I can say this from personal experience, it's both you need to seek help and you need to take personal action too. It has to go both ways. You're the one that needs to do it. You know, it requires full commitment and involvement from the person to really improve their life. But it can be done.
Yeah. Okay, so let me sum up. Polaris, a band that reminds us heavy music doesn't just break walls, it builds bridges. Polaris, Jack and Daniel, thank you so much.
Jack's right, yeah. Yeah, no, that was perfect. Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been great. We've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much.
Das war der Metal Minds, der Pit Unplugged Podcast von Metal.de. Mein Name war, ist und wird es immer sein, Diana Heinbucher, und ich habe euch durch diesen Pit geführt. Wir hören uns das nächste Mal wieder. Bis dahin, bleibt Metal. The Pit Unplugged.